It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse today. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, we'll read to the end of the chapter. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, so we can start the reading. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon you, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sidon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. Give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless at this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou dost let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, and thy mother, and thy brethren, and all the father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went and came upon the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered unto our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. What a precious reading. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and enjoy this time. So please show us your way and your will. Guide and lead us today as we study your precious word. Show us your power and your strength. We look here and we see that the evidence of your power and the miracles that you have performed have went ahead of you, dear Lord, so that the people of the land of Canaan are very much aware of who you are and how powerful you are. So please guide and lead us now and show us your power and strength. Show us that you can save us. All we need to do is come by faith to you and call upon you. Repent, turn to you. Turn from our ways and turn to you is what we need to do. So, dear Lord, please help us today to do that and accept you as our Savior and be saved. We do that once. Just one time is all we need to do that, dear Lord. So help us to do that and help us to trust in you and walk with you. And then our life begins, wonderful life begins of service and praise and honor to your name. Now please guide and lead us, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glad that you've joined us today as we look to this study. Joshua, as he takes on the responsibility of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. You know, we should depend upon the true God, our God, for all things, small and large, it doesn't matter. You know, the important thing is that we depend upon him and realize that he is the one that is powerful enough to supply our needs, deliver us from the enemy, and help us in every way. And today, our land, this wonderful country that we live in, we find that so many from different directions, if you listen to any of the newscasters, you listen to the politicians, so many of them, not all, but so many of them are trying to totally and completely divide our God from this government that we have. And that is a certainty that we will fail and fall because we have to have our God to rule and to reign. No, this is not a theocracy. It is a democracy. But please, our forefathers didn't have any thought that we would try to eliminate God's presence from this land because it will mean certain failure. Joshua did just the opposite when he was taking this land, and it was land given to the nation of Israel, to the people that he was leading, given to them by the owner, and that was God himself. You see, God is the only one that owns property. God is the only one, and he's the only one that can give property away, and to the only people that he has given property to is to the nation of Israel, period. No other people have been given the ownership of the land. Now, they have not possessed this land. We find that Abraham walked into this land, and now 430 years later, Joshua is returning. As we said last time we were together, for 430 years, these people in the land of Canaan have had an opportunity to turn to God and to serve him and to praise him and in turn save their lives. But instead of that, they have continually, as many of our people in this land, leaders of this land, continue to reject God, his presence, his power, his authority. And so by doing so, it means certain death. Well, that's what was going to happen to the people and the residents of Canaan. Now, let's look here because I want you to see that these people in Canaan, and particularly here in Jericho, which is right across, remember the people are encamped right across the Jordan River. All they have to do is proceed over to the river and come across. Now, they've sent two spies in to see the land. Now, different than the 12 spies that went 38 and a half years earlier. The 12 spies that went in 38 and a half years earlier, they went in to see if they were strong enough and powerful enough to take the land. These two spies are going in just to see how to take the land, where to come in. That wasn't their thought, their concern, anything was that we couldn't do it. It's that how are we going to do it? Now, when they came back, the 12 spies, 10 of them said, yes, you know, God was right. It is filled with milk and honey. It is the fruit of the land is greater than we have ever seen anywhere. Everything is exactly as God said. So you see, they should have known right there that the enemy, the people that lived in the land, that it had at that time 400 years to straighten up, to confess, to repent, and to come to God. At 400 years, they just got more and more wicked, much like our land. The further away we get from the true God, the more wicked the world and the land becomes. And we have evidence of that, great evidence of that. And it's a sad, sad day for this land. It's a sad, sad day for the land of Canaan. And we need to look at those two as a comparison. Because there's going to be a day that the enemy is going to come in and take us away because we are the ungodly ones. Well, that's what the land of Jericho and Canaan looks at the nation of Israel as enemies coming in to take the land. They are the true owners of the land. They should come and they should possess it. And we're going to look at us verses of Scripture in the near future here that even tell us that God is going to hold those responsible that have scattered the nation of Israel throughout all the lands. He's going to hold them responsible for that. He's also going to hold them responsible that they have divided the land of Israel and kept parts and pieces for themselves. And God's going to hold them responsible for that. There is going to be a day of judgment. And so, please, understand that we need to serve and praise and honor God today. And we need to take this nation and bring it to its her knees so that she will repent and turn unto the living God and serve the living God. Not ruled by some church, but ruled by God. And the leaders need to follow the direction of our God. Now we look here and we find that the people knew. She said unto the men, now this is Rahab, the harlot, the prostitute. This is Rahab. They had come into the land. Remember last time we were together, and I hate to take this much time, but we need to be reminded that they knew these two spies were there because they sent men in immediately to hunt them out and to take them away. I'm supposing that to kill them without question. Because they were enemies coming in to spy out the land. These two came in quietly, came in secretly, and yet they were sought out. They knew how many, and they knew exactly where they came from, and they knew exactly where they went, because they went right to Rahab's house. They want these two men, because they're the spies that's coming to take our land, the Scripture says. There would have been plenty of room for everyone if these people would have repented and turned unto the Lord. But they chose not to. Now, we have these, and she said unto the men, these were the ones that had come seeking them. I know that the Lord hath given you, that was earlier, the two men that had come in that she had hidden. That is where we're at in verse 9. The others she had sends them away. Right here, she goes up and she speaks to them. Let's just back up a little bit and get it right into the perfect, the right context. And we'll just start with verse 1. We probably should have read there from the first place. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out from Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out all of the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I was not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and had hid them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And here's where we are in verse 9. So they come searching the men. She had sent them away. And now we hear at verse 9, she is talking to the two men upon the roof. And I know that the Lord hath given you the land. First point, I know that the Lord God had given you this land. What a statement. Listen to what this woman understands, what she knows. You know, she knows more than our government knows today, as they continue to trade back and forth, trying to give different partials and sections to different peoples instead of giving them to the nation of Israel. Look at this. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Look what she knows. I know God's given you this land, and I know the condition of the people. They are scared to death of you. Your terror is fallen upon us. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. You know what the Hebrew definition of this word faint is? To melt, dissolve, consume, disappear. They faint because of you. They flee because of you. They are scared to death of you. Look at that. Look at what a wonderful testimony that has come. Now you say, wonderful? What do you mean? Why is something of fear wonderful? These people had an opportunity to fall on their face and ask God to forgive them and ask God to protect them, just as Rahab is going to do. And Rahab and her family is saved. You see how it works? You see how it works? We're also going to see here in the near future how it works when you don't repent. Okay, they come. Here is a testimony of a woman that knows. She knows. She's in the kind of an occupation that she hears a lot of talk. And she knows that they're scared. They're scared to death. Verse 10, for we have heard. Here's why they're scared. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. It's one. We heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. For who? For you, Rahab says. She's talking to these two spies, these two Israelites, these two Jews, saying, I know what he's done. He dried up the Red Sea so you could walk across it. It wasn't a rumor that they had crossed the Red Sea somehow. You know, today liberals are trying to say that it was a dry time, and it was just kind of a marshy area where they walked across. And, you know, that was what it was. Well, then you explain to me how you can drown the horses. And the morning came, if you remember the story when we read it, the morning came, and here come all these chariots and horses of Pharaoh's, of the Egyptians, and they washed up dead on the shore, and that's what they witnessed the next morning. Now, it takes a pretty good-sized marsh to drown a horse, doesn't it? And to wash him up upon the coast, yes, it does. we find that this was done, and it wasn't just something in history. Look at who it was done for. She says it was done for you. Your God did that for you. What a testimony. What's the matter with these folks? Why won't they repent? The second thing is, in the same verse of Scripture, we know, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, who were utterly destroyed. Now, why did they do that? Is Israel just a wicked people that comes and kills and slaughters whoever comes in their road? I want to take you back to Numbers chapter 21, because we're going to see what happened here. God's not a God that just comes in without any notice. He gives people an opportunity to repent, an opportunity to do what's right. Now, let's look to Numbers chapter 21. We're going to start reading with verse 21. And it says, "Let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders." And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his borders. But Sihon gathered all his people together and went against Israel into the wilderness and came unto Zaz, and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon to Zabok, even unto the children of Ammon. For the border of the children of Ammon was strong, and Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereby. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and took all his land out of his hand, even unto Arnon. Now, will you look at that carefully with me? It shows you the strength and the power of this man, Sihon, the king. He had just taken Moab, and he decided he could take on the Israelites. What did the Israelites want to do? They wanted to pass through the land. What was the word that came to them? Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites. "Let me pass through thy land. I will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. I will not drink of the well. We will stay on the highway and we will pass through." That's what he wanted to do. But instead of that, this king decided he wasn't going to allow that. They asked permission. They asked permission to pass through the land and promised, "We will not." But they didn't listen. What is the testimony here in the 10th verse? "We know what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Why did he utterly destroy them? Because they fought against him. It's not that as they moved into the land that Israel just slaughtered the people. They asked permission to come through, and it was rejected. They decided to fight and destroy them, and instead of that, they themselves were destroyed. Mighty and strong as they were destroyed. Now, verse 11. "And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." What a testimony this lady is giving here. Her facts are right. Her facts are right. Today in this country, when they believe that it's better to take God out of everything, out of the schools, out of any government, out of everything. They're liars. They're following the liar, Satan himself. He's the liar. He's the deceiver. And this nation of Israel here, as they're coming through, as they pass through this land, and the kings of the Amorites stood against them. And when they did that, they were defeated and destroyed. These people of Jericho, these people of the land of Canaan, knew how strong and mighty these Amorites were, how much of a leader this king was. And it seemed as though that they just walked right over them and defeated him. Well, that brought great fear over them. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. The word faint was used up in verse 9. Now we find, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Every man, every person was terrified of this nation of Israel. And not so much of the nation of Israel, but the God who stood before them. It's the same thing with us. Oh, we can have the greatest weaponry. We can have the strongest army. We can rule all of the world. But there'll be a day that there'll be an enemy come and destroy us if we ignore God's presence and God's proper place and position. That's going to happen to us, as happened to everybody else that has ignored the power and the strength of God. These people knew. These people were very much aware of who these people are and who God is. Look at this. Because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. What a testimony this lady is giving. Now look at this. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. Not by your own power, but by the Lord. Since I have shown you kindness, I have hidden you from the enemy that come to destroy you, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Oh, wonderful words here. Wonderful words. Again, why? With such great fear that's come over the people of Canaan and the city of Jericho, why did they not repent? They had witness and testimony 430 years before when Abraham was there. They received once again a witness and testimony 38 and a half years before. They had that period of time to repent and turn to the Lord. And instead of that, every time God showed His power and God showed His strength, it just brought greater and greater fear upon them. All they needed to do was fall on their face and repent. But you see, they couldn't do that. They didn't want to do that. They could do that, but they didn't. They refused. They refused to stand up and say, "God, please, please forgive us." They could have had God's blessing all these years. But instead of that, we're going to find very soon that they're going to cross this Jordan and they're going to be destroyed. What a sad, sad day. What a sad day it's going to be. And all because they refuse to repent. And the judgment's going to come upon our land the same way. And it's all because the people of this land refuse to repent and turn to the true God. We need to pray for our land. We need to pray that they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the cross of Calvary and be saved today. Please call upon God. Accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?